Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 85 for the November 2014 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you might find interesting. We determine interesting by, frankly, what people send in clips for. This time we've got a couple of duplicates, so those items must be really interesting. These episodes, we've got an open submission policy. Everyone is encouraged to send in clips. That's how we know, like I said, what's interesting and what isn't. What you guys are thinking other people should be reading. This is how I find out about new stuff. Hopefully you'll find out about some new stuff. Everybody gets what they enjoy, and it's all good. So, there are thousands of items and previews each and every month, and it's easy for those things to get lost in the shuffle. I can't tell you how many times I've had to send in with my DCBS order a note saying, can you add these things from last month that somehow I missed? Again, thousands of items in about a 500-page catalog plus another 100 for the Marvel previews. So like I said, easy for stuff to get lost. That's the whole point of these episodes. As always, we're going to start at the beginning of the previews. We're going to work our way to the back, diving through the Marvel previews where that would fit in the catalog, where it in there. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. And again, it's people like you who send in those highlights. So when the next round of previews comes out, be it online or in print, and you see something that looks interesting, send in a clip. So without further ado, let's listen to some clips.
Hey guys, this is Chris, the Brawlinator Brawly, and my first pick for this month's edition of previews is Conan Red Sonja from Dark Horse Comics and Dynamite Entertainment, found on page 28 in the Dark Horse Comics section of this month's previews catalog. Way back in 1973, artist Barry Windsor Smith and Roy Thomas first teamed up our favorite crom-defying barbarian and the attractive red-headed she-devil with a sword. Now, over 40 years later, acclaimed writer Gail Simone teams up with Jim Zub to bring together these legendary warriors in yet another epic crossover. In a story spanning multiple eras in the lives of these classic characters, Conan and Red Sonja become comrades again in order to take down a sorcerer priest determined to create a dark new age in Hyborian warfare. I'm really enjoying these cross-company team-ups recently, and we're very lucky that Dark Horse, who has the Conan license, and Dynamite, who holds the Red Sonja license, know how to play and work well together. Jim Zub co-writes with Gail Simone on a story that centers around this pair of adventurers, with years passing between each major chapter of the story. This actually marks the first time that these legendary characters have met in over 15 years, and I'm a fan of both characters from way back when both were properties at Marvel. The preview art by Dan Panosian is tremendous, and he's perfect for this savage saga of sword and sorcery. Order your copy this month. The solicit can be found on page 28, again in the Dark Horse Comics section of this month's previews catalog.
Hi, TJ here with my first selection for this month's previews. It's in the Dark Horse section on page 33. It is Murder Book trade paperback, written by Ed Brisson with a bunch of artists, because this is an anthology. Simon Roy, Michael Walsh, Johnny Christmas, Jason Copeland, Declan Shalvey, Damon Quercero, I think. Caught my eye because I'm a pretty big crime comics fan. I'm a big Ed Brubaker criminal fan, and I like Ed Brisson's work on Sheltered and a few other things. I think The Field he did as well. And this is a term used by detectives. Murder book refers to the case file on a homicide, chronicling the life of a case from murder to arrest. The graphic novel anthology Murder Book collects gritty and unrelenting crime comics by Ed Brisson that chronicles the demise of the immoral and the innocent alike. Yeah, so I'm just a big crime comic fan, and I like Ed Brisson's style, and this is looks like a great black and white little trade paperback from Dark Horse. So if you're interested in crime comics or Ed Brisson's work, check out Murder Book on page 33.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and we're in the November previews catalog. My first pick of the month is in the Dark Horse section, and you'll find it on page 33, Murder Book. This is written by Ed Brisson with art by a variety of different folks. It's an anthology, and as the title suggests, it is a crime anthology. The term used by detectives, murder book, refers to the case file on a homicide chronicling the life of a case from murder to arrest. This graphic novel anthology, Murder Book, collects gritty and unrelenting crime comics by Ed Brisson and chronicles the demise of the immoral and the innocent alike. If you're familiar with Comeback, or more recently Sheltered and The Field, then you know of Ed Brisson's work with Image. Now, this book, though, is going to appear in Dark Horse. I don't remember these being individual comics published elsewhere and then now collected in this book. They may have been, I'm not certain, but what I am certain of is that this is by Brisson, who has proven himself to be a great writer. The art sample that we have on page 33 looks good, and I am a sucker for crime and noir comics. So if you are too, check out page 33 of the previews catalog, and you will find the solicit for Murder Book.
Hey guys, TJ here with my next selection on page 34 of the Dark Horse section. This is Lady Killer number 1 of 5 by Joel Jones with writing and art, Jamie S. Rich also writing, and Laura Allred doing the colors. And it's described as, Josie Sculler is a picture-perfect homemaker, wife, and mother, but she's also a ruthless, efficient killer for hire. A brand new original comedy series that combines the wholesome imagery of early 1960s domestic bliss with a tightening web of murder, paranoia, and cold-blooded survival. So this just sounds like a pretty great little 1960s crime and comedy, apparently, as well. But what really drew me to this was the Joel Jones art. I'm a big fan of her art, and I just really like the way that she, her character work is great when she does comics. So, you know, if you're a Joel Jones fan, or if you're a fan of just, good comics, I think you should check out Lady Killer number 1 on page 34 of the Dark Horse section.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next pick of the month is also in the Dark Horse section. You'll find it on page 48, and it is a hardcover collection, The Shaolin Cowboy, with art and writing by Jeff Darrow. Dave Stewart does the colorings, and if you read earlier this year the Shaolin Cowboy miniseries, then you know what I'm talking about. This is basically a cowboy who is also a Shaolin monk who combats, in this story, zombies, the undead, and that's basically it. The art is phenomenal. If you're looking for an engaging and complex storyline outside of killing the undead, I don't know if you're going to find it here, so you have to ask yourself the question, does Jeff Darrow's incredibly fabulous art warrant getting this book? And even though it may not have a kind of storyline that you would find satisfying, for me, I think it's worth a shot. I got the miniseries, and so because of that, I'm not going to get this collection. But Darrow's art is beautiful, and one way of reading this book is as a satiric commentary on the whole zombie, specifically Walking Dead, phenomena, that it is an ongoing narrative or a genre that basically goes nowhere. And that's what you can arguably find in Jeff Darrow's The Shaolin Cowboy. And you can find the solicit on page 48 of the previews catalog.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a pick from Dark Horse on page 52 of the previous catalog. It's Concrete Park, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, number 5 of 5. This is written by Tony Purrier. He also did the art, and it's also co-written by Erica Alexander. And this has been an interesting little sci-fi adventure. Been a really cool tale. I liked it. This is going to finish it up, and I think it's really good. So I'm kind of putting this out there. If you want to try to catch up, great. Or if you when you see the trade, it's all about the scarcity divided amongst these different competing gangs. This is on sale January 7th for $3.99. It's 32 pages. It finishes ending up a mini-series, so either snap them up or wait for the trade. But either way, it's Concrete Park, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, number 5 of 5. On page 52 of the Dark Horse catalog.
Hey guys, TJ back with my next selection. It's in the Dark Horse section on page 56. And this is Deep Gravity Trade Paperback, with writing by Gabriel Hardman and Carino Becho, as well as Mike Richardson, with art by Fernando Baldo, and coloring by Nick Filardi. This is the basically trade paperback that collects the miniseries Deep Gravity number 1 through 4, and here's the description. He didn't get on to the most lucrative interstellar mission for the money. Paxson came to be reunited with the woman he loves, but his high-stakes journey takes him to a savage world full of the galaxy's most dangerous game, where gravity can turn your bones to powder, and the reunion isn't all he hoped for, when they find themselves on a ruined vessel in a deteriorating orbit above the planet, trapped with their own alien prey on the loose. So, you know, I'm a pretty big Gabriel Hardman and Carino Becco supporter, and I do like kind of like space-based adventure stories, and so that's what this looks like. It got some great reviews when it was coming out in singles, so I'm looking to pick up the trade paperback. So if you're interested in some Gabriel Hardman space adventures, check out Deep Gravity trade paperback on page 56 of the Dark Horse section.
Next up on page 58 is Gru, Friends and Foes number 1. This launches a year-long mini-series, so 12 issues, by the classic team of Sergio Aragonés, Mark Evanier, Stan Sakai, and Tom Luth. This creative team, the writer, or actually the artist, Sergio, the writer, Mark, the letterer, Stan Sakai, colorist, Tom Luth, this team has been together longer than I think any other currently active creative team in comics. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think I am. These guys have been doing Gru since time immemorial. That's right, we can't remember a time they weren't doing Gru. I think it's repression therapy. Actually, no. Gru is a fun comic. Sergio and Mark just do excellent work there. It's essentially about a wandering... trying to think how best to describe Gru, and he almost goes beyond description. He's kind of like Conan, except he's a complete and utter moron. He's the only kind of a guy who can get in a fight and be on both sides of the battle simultaneously, both win and lose somehow. It's something that's just a wonder to behold. It's a $3.99 series. They have it listed as ongoing, but the description says it's a year-long series, so that in and of itself kind of describes the nature of Gru. It's well worth getting. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS because it's comic book page pick of the month. I've been reading Gru since early on in the Epic run, somewhere within, I'm going to say around issues 20 or 30 or whatever on, and that ran for 120 issues and has then been kind of a series of miniseries between different publishers and such over time. Well worth checking out, and I think you'll like it. So, once again, that's Gru, Friends and Foe number 1 on page 58.
Hey guys, TJ here again with my last selection in the Dark Horse section. That is on page 62, and this is Tex, the Lonesome Rider hardcover by Claudio Nizzi and Joe Kubert. This is a pretty solid 240-page hardcover, 7x10, and I think DCBS has it for 50% off, so you're looking at $25. And this is kind of something I've been looking forward to. I've heard rumors about this getting brought over here to be translated and published in English, so this is pretty cool. I'm a big Joe Kubert fan, and this looks like a pretty cool Western story. So it describes, American icon Joe Kubert and Italian writer Claudio Nizzi collaborated on Tex, the Lonesome Rider, at the turn of the new century, and this standalone graphic novel is now available to a wider English language audience. Tex tracks four ruthless killers who have massacred a peaceful farming family using his ranger's ingenuity and brute force when needed. So, you know, I was pretty much sold on this by the Joe Kubert art, but it just, you know, we don't ever get enough Western stories anymore. It's a genre that's kind of fallen out of favor, and this looks like a great classic that's been brought over here in, you know, full color, something I'm really looking forward to. So if you're interested in some good Joe Kubert art and a good Western story, check out Tex, the Lonesome Rider hardcover on page 62 of the Dark Horse section.
Next up on page 70 is the Multiversity Guidebook number 1 from DC Comics. This is both a handbook of the new multiverse from DC, where we learn everything about all of the 52 worlds, or at least details of them. I'm not sure how much they can totally elucidate in just an 80-page comic. But in addition to the guidebook stuff, we're also going to get the adventures of Commandy of Earth 51 and the post-apocalyptic Batman of Earth 17 and the chibi Batman of Earth 42. So we get both, a full-size story in here, as well as information about the entire multiverse and so forth. This is done by Grant Morrison. There's a whole fleet of artists here, again, because they're doing a bunch of guidebook entries for the different worlds. This is the 6th chapter of the Multiversity event. I'm afraid some people might miss it because it's labeled as a guidebook, but I think this multiverse is going to be around for a while. I think it's going to play a big event in the upcoming Convergence miniseries that they're doing to cover the move of DC Comics editorial staff over to Burbank. That'll be early next year, so I think this is well worth getting. It's a $7.99 comic. It is 80 pages. It is also a comic book page pick of the month, so we got a 50% discount through DCBS. Once again, that's the Multiversity Guidebook number 1 on page 70 from DC Comics. Check it out. Next up on page 92 from DC Comics, Superman 38. Now, this is an extra-size special issue. It's 40 pages. It's going to be $4.99, and they say that the world's greatest hero gets a new costume, new powers, and new friends and enemies, and that it's a major turning point for Superman, putting him on a new path and so forth. I don't know if this means the electric blue Superman's coming back or where they're going with this, but with a creative team of Jeff Johns and John Romita Jr., I'm expecting great things. They've been doing a very interesting story so far on their run, and I'm looking forward to where they go next with this. This should be a good jumping on point, hopefully, and as to how long this new look and power set or whatever lasts for Superman, I don't know. But it's well worth checking out in the meanwhile. Once again, that's Superman number 38 on page 92 from DC.
Kyle and Drew here with Comics for Fun and Profit, and we're in DC now, and we're going to look at Batman and Robin number 38.
Spoiler alert.
Absolutely. Spoiler alert. Stop right there, because I'm going to tell you right now, it looks like Robin is back.
Not just
More specifically,
Robin.
Damian Wayne is back. So that's the one negative about reading the previews ahead of time, is we've seen what's going to happen, so the next few issues should be a little different. But Peter Tomasi, art and cover by Patrick Gleason and Mick Gray, and it says here, the team of Batman and Robin are together again, but what is the new dynamic for this crime-fighting duo now that Damian has, spoiler alert, superpowers of his own? So it looks like what we've been doing for the last year with his Robin Rises and the sarcophagus stuff is back again, and we get some more. And I, for one, love the dynamic between Damian and Bruce, and I'm so happy Damian Wayne is back in this.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great, but I think too much time has passed, and I don't think you can go home again. I am concerned that this is not going to work the second time around. I think too much time has passed. The ship has sailed. Insert cliche here. I don't know if this is going to have that same magic that the title had before. It's lost a lot for me over this last year or so. So I'm a little worried, a little concerned.
But if you'll remember correctly, you know, Damian and Bruce got together, and then Bruce, quote unquote, died and went away for a while, and we had Damian and Dick Grayson for a while, and then Bruce came back, and I think their dynamic was some of the best we've seen from them. So we've already had one of the characters disappear for a long period of time and come back from the dead, only to pick up right where they left off. But you have your doubts about this new one.
I'm hopeful, because I loved it. I love the way they worked together. I love the chemistry before. I mean, I really like Nightwing and Damian's chemistry.
No, absolutely.
So hopefully they revisit that again. And, I mean, I want to read it. So I just don't know if you can capture that magic and that lightning in a bottle again. I am full of cliches today. But yes, 32 pages, $2.99. I know what's going to be happening in the issue, and so do you, because it's right there in previews. So I hope you, hopefully you fast forwarded through this. If you didn't want to know, and check it out, man, because he's back. That's cool.
That's right. But I'll tell you what, Comics for Fun and Profit does want to know, so I'm definitely picking up Batman and Robin number 38. $2.99, like you said, 32 pages, the start of a whole new arc friendship and father-son relationship for Batman and Robin, of course, Damian Wade. You can pick that up from DC Comics.
And check us out at comicsfunprofit.com.
Hey guys, TJ here with my next selection. It's in the DC section on page 126. This is Secret Six, Volume 1, Villains United Trade Paperback, written by Gail Simone with art by Brad Walker, Jim LaPalmiotti, Dale Eaglesham, and others. So this is kind of the beginning of the reprinting of the Secret Six stuff that Gail Simone did previously. I know that they've, in the last previews or two, have shown that they're going to bring the Secret Six to the New 52 and that Gail Simone will be writing some of the new stuff. So they've wisely decided to reprint some of the old stuff. So this one is 328 pages for $19.99, and I think it's got 50% off through DCBS. So you're looking at 328 pages for $10. And this kind of basically says that it collects the stories lead into Infinite Crisis from Villains United 1 through 6, the Secret Six 6-issue miniseries, and Villains United Infinite Crisis Special 1. And so if you're interested in getting reacquainted with the Secret Six, I know that some of those trade paperbacks in the past have been pretty hard to find as they've gone out of print. So if you're interested in catching back up, check out page 126 of the DC section.
This is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next couple of picks are in the Vertigo section of the previews catalog. You'll find them both on pages 129 and 130, and I wanted to talk about them together because they're both brand new number one issues from Vertigo. We don't get as many of those as we used to. Now, the first one is Effigy number one. This is written by Tim Seeley with art by Marley Zarcone. The solicit reads this, thus, after a sex tape scandal, former Hollywood child star turned Z-lister, not even an A-lister, Chandra Jackson, returns to her hometown of Effigy Mound, Illinois, to find a seemingly impossible crime, a fresh corpse in an ancient Indian burial site. Even weirder, the murder resembles a scene from an episode of her old TV show, Star Cop, a live-action children's show about a kid detective. As Chandra starts to investigate, she stumbles upon a bizarre cult that worships celebrities as eternal effigies. And these cult members aren't just worshiping. They're also ritually sacrificing anyone who defies their veneration of the beautiful and famous. Chandra's probe takes her on a terrifying tour of burial mounds across the world, from Stonehenge to the Nazca lines of Peru. But what is the link between the cult, Chandra's hometown, and her own bloodline? Will she become the hero detective she played as a child, or is she in fact the cult's unwitting messiah? Now, if you turn the page, you find another number one from Vertigo, and this is the latest in the Fables franchise. Fables, The Wolf Among Us, number one. This is written by Matthew Sturges and Dave Justice with art by Steve Sadowski, Sean McManus, and Travis Moore. Even before the first issue of Fables, there were stories to be told, shadowy adventures to explore, and lives hanging in the balance. Bigby Wolf has seen plenty in his time as sheriff of Fabletown, but nothing can prepare him for this. It all starts with a simple domestic disturbance, but when Bigsby learns that his old nemesis, the woodsman who has an axe to grind, is part of the scene, things go downhill fast. And how will Bigby and Snow White keep their heads long enough to crack the case when they get caught in a grisly murder mystery? Well, you have to read the series to find out. This is notable for a couple of reasons, Fables The Wolf Among Us. First, because it is going to be Vertigo's first digital first comic. So I guess you can get this in installments digitally, and then it will be collected in single issues beginning in January. But it's also notable because this is based in many ways on the video game, the Fables The Wolf Among Us, and I have that on my iPad. I've played it a little, haven't gone all the way through, so I'm curious to see how they translate the video game into this comic book. So, or I guess you could look at it this way, that the video game is a translation or an adaptation of the Fables comic, and then now that video game is being used as an adaptation or a spinoff of another comic. So, and this is also interesting in a third way, and that is that as Fables and Fairest are getting ready to wind down next year, Vertigo is starting another series. Now, this does not indicate, the catalog does not indicate that Fables The Wolf Among Us is a mini-series. Seems to be an ongoing. How long it goes on, I do not know. But if you're a Vertigo fan, just as I am, then you'll find on pages 129 and 130 reasons to celebrate that Vertigo's not going away anytime soon, that Image is not stealing all of its thunder, because they have brand new number ones, Effigy by Tim Seeley and Marley Zarcone, and Fables, The Wolf Among Us, written by Matthew Sturges and Dave Justice.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the IDW section on page 149, Millennium, number one. Written by Joe Harris, and I'm going to try to pronounce the artist's name correctly, Colin Lorimer. The solicit read, 15 years ago, the end of the world, the anticipated millennium event, was avoided thanks to the efforts of Frank Black and FBI agents Fox Mulder and Dana Scully. Or was it? Frank's psychic gifts have shown him that evil has continued to grow unabated in the world, and he's trying his best to ignore it. But soon, the resurgence of the Millennium Group and their quest to find Frank's daughter, Jordan, will pull him into the fray once again, whether he likes it or not. You know, when Millennium came out as a TV series back in the 90s, you know, I really loved the first season. It was great. I thought it was a little bit more edgier, a little bit more creepier than the X-Files back then. The other thing I also liked about the show was that the lead actor, Lance Henriksen, you know, he wasn't your typical handsome leading guy on the show. He just looked like your average guy trying to protect his family from the evils of the world. You know, like I said, you know, the show, I thought the TV show on the first season was really great, you know. So I'm just hoping that this, you know, this five-part miniseries will live up to that standard. So I'm willing to, you know, give it a shot. I'm all in on this miniseries. So, you know, if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up Millennium number one. Thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John. Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. My next pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the IDW section on page 151, Star Trek, number 41, written by Mike Johnson, art by Kat Staggs. The solicit reads, in the wake of their century-spanning encounter with Q, the crew of the USS Enterprise leaves explored space behind to embark on a new five-year mission of discovery. Beyond the reaches of Starfleet communications, they can only rely on each other when faced with their first encounter in uncharted territory, and it might be their last. Don't miss this perfect jumping-on point for new readers, produced in association with Star Trek writer-producer Roberto Orci, and also he's going to be the director of the next Star Trek movie. First off, I want to thank John Mayall for recommending this comic on previous previous spotlight, like about a couple years ago. You know, I'm a big Star Trek fan. I love, you know, the new movies, you know, and when I heard that IDW was going to do monthly Star Trek comic book series telling, you know, retelling some of the original TV stories, I was, you know, basically I was skeptical. You know, I was like, eh, you know, I was just skeptical. And then when I heard you know, John's recommendation, I just decided to give it a shot. And, you know, I'm glad I did. You know, this Star Trek series is really good. You know, there is a sense of adventure, a sense of fun to these stories. The other thing I like about these stories is that most of the stories are either self-contained or it's like two-part stories. So, it's great. You know, and again, like I said, the storytelling is, you know, like I said, it's it's full of adventure, full of fun. And also, too, the art is pretty good. You know, most of the artists, you know, that have been drawing the series, they try to capture the likeness of the actors, and they come pretty close. So, yeah, it's the art's really good as well. So, you know, if you're a big Star Trek fan and you guys are not, you know, reading this series, you know, this is a great jumping on point. Or if you know of, you know, a friend who's a big Star Trek fan and is a comic book reader but is not reading the series, you know, I recommend, you know, pick this up for them and go, hey, you know, hear this, you know, here, try this out, you know, and just give it a shot. So, you know, and yeah, so it's, yeah, so if you guys get a chance, you know, pick up Star Trek issue number 41. Again, John, thank you for recommending this comic book series. Like I said, I have been enjoying this. It's, you know, it's a great fun read. You know, again, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Over in the IDW section, it's Star Trek: The City on the Edge of Forever Collected Edition. If you missed the individual issues for this, now is your chance to own a hardbound collected edition of a stunning visual presentation of the much-discussed, unrevised, unadulterated version of Harlan Ellison's award-winning Star Trek teleplay script, The City on the Edge of Forever. This script won both the Hugo and Writers Guild of America awards and has been much discussed for decades, but only here and now will you be able to see the story as Mr. Ellison originally intended. I've been waiting for this to be collected since I passed on the individual floppies, and I'm really looking forward to reading this all in one sitting. I heard nothing but rave reviews about this miniseries from my friends and other comic aficionados. The story has been written by, again, the legendary Harlan Ellison, along with Scott Tipton and David Tipton, with exceptional art by J.K. Woodward. The novel's cover has been done by Juan Ortiz, and Star Trek: The City on the Edge of Forever will run 128 pages and cost $24.99. Of course, you can get that discount through DCBS, and you can order your copy by looking on page 151 in the IDW section of the previews catalog. Thanks, guys.
Next up on page 153 is Galaxy Quest: The Journey Continues, number 1 of 4 from IDW. This is picking up where the classic movie left off. We get to see if this group of actors gets pulled into yet another space adventure and can they survive it this time or not. I'm looking forward to this. I thought Galaxy Quest was a great send-up of Star Trek and the whole mythology around Star Trek, both the show and the fandom, everything about it. They were respectful and had fun with it, you know, without just making everyone look like idiots or something, which is a fine line to do, and it was just a brilliant movie and stuff, a lot of fun, well worth checking out, and the fact that we're finally getting some sort of a follow-up to it is just, you know, it's taken too long for that to happen. This is a $3.99 comic from IDW. It is 32 pages, again, 4-issue miniseries, so it should have a good beginning, middle, and end over the course of those 4 issues. We have a 50% discount through DCBS. So once again, Galaxy Quest: The Journey Continues, number 1 of 4 from IDW on page 153.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast. My next pick of the month is in the IDW section. You'll find it on page 174. Squitter, the Trade Paperback, written and with art by Ben Templesmith. An old soldier from a forgotten war in a post-apocalyptic world that has left him behind is one of the last of the legendary Squitter Legions. Can a discarded relic with a death wish and a rebellious squid priestess overthrow humanity's tentacled alien overlords? Ben Templesmith returns to his roots to finally do the tentacle Cthulhu-oriented book he's always promised. This will be collecting the 4-issue miniseries that came out earlier this year. I read that, and I found it was quite darn good. Great art. You can always count on that from Templesmith. And this is a really engaging story, as the solicit suggested. So you ought to check this out. If you didn't read the miniseries, then you can definitely catch the trade paperback on page 174 of the catalog. Ben Templesmith's The Squitter. This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, back with another double shot. This time from the Image section. You will find on page 182, Casanova, Acedia. Yes, Casanova is back. You have Matt Fraction and Fabio Moon back with another Casanova title. This is one of the reasons why I guess Image over the past few months has been making available nice hardbound deluxe editions of previous Casanova stories. This one is about Casanova, who is marooned in Los Angeles with no memory of his past. He takes on the mystery of his criminal benefactor's tangled and bloodthirsty history as strange occult forces from the future conspire to do stuff to him, to Los Angeles, to you. Yes, that is what the solicit says. Now, one of the things that makes this notable, outside of the fact that Casanova is back, is that this will feature the first in a series of backup stories by Pulitzer Prize winner Michael Chabon and Casanova co-creator Gabriel Ba. And you have three really nice pages of art to give you a great sampling. You definitely have to check this out. And if you turn to page 186, you'll find another comics big wig, along with Matt Fraction, you have Jonathan Hickman, and he is back with Ryan Brodenheim with issue number one of The Dying and the Dead. A murder at a wedding reveals a 50-year-old secret. At great cost, a man with a dying wife is given the opportunity to save her. A lost tribe is reborn in another time. All seemingly disparate events which force relics from the greatest generation to come together for one last mission. And that's the setup of The Dying and the Dead. You have the team of Hickman and Bodenheim back again. They collaborated together most recently on Secret, an earlier Image comic. And then before that, they did together a Red Mass for Mars. And you also have three pages of sample art in this solicit as well. So if you turn to the Image section of the catalog, you'll find on page 182 a solicit for Matt Fraction and Fabio Moon's Casanova, Acedia, number one. And then on page 186, Jonathan Hickman and Ryan Bodenheim's The Dying and the Dead, number one. Check it out.
Hey everyone, this is Brandon, and my pick this month is Spawn 250. Now, unbelievably, Spawn, one of arguably the most influential books of the 90s, is becoming one of the highest current runs in the comic book industry. Now, it is a holdover from Image's superhero dominant line in the 90s, but as Image transformed, Spawn stayed in there. Todd McFarlane continued the series, continued the stories. Now, we've seen some excellent art, story's been a little shaky, but overall it's still a decent book. Another thing I always like to point out with books I recommend is the price point. Spawn is still at $2.99. Now this book, $2.50, is $5.99, but overall $2.99 monthly book is a good deal. Also, after this issue is a new writer and a new artist coming in, Brian Wood, so it's something to look forward to as well. Thanks, John.
Hey guys, TJ back here with my next selection in the Image Comics section on page 198. This is the Henshin original graphic novel, story and art by Ken Nomura. They've also got on page 199 a great four-page kind of examples of the art, good preview. And it says, I Kill Giants co-creator Ken Nomura brings a unique vision of life in Japan to the pages of Henshin. The lives of a kid with peculiar superpowers, a lonely girl discovers herself in the big city, and a businessman in a long night out are some of the short stories included in this collection that will make you laugh, even maybe shed a tear. Explore Tokyo as you've never seen it before under Nomura's masterful and imaginative storytelling. Printed here for the first time in English. So I'm a big fan of I Kill Giants, one of my favorite Image titles of the last 5 or 6 years that I've read. And, you know, the art was one of the best parts about that story. And so this guy, really knows how to tell a story. And so I'm pretty looking forward to this, especially since this is the first time it's in English. So if you're interested in some, international manga and you're interested to try something a little bit different, check out Henshin, the original graphic novel, in the Image section on page 198.
Drew and Kyle back again with Comics for Fun and Profit, and now we're looking at Image, and we are looking at Manifest Destiny, number 13 by Chris Dingus and Matthew Roberts, and we also have cover with Owen Gianni. The reason we look at this one is the start of a new arc. We've gone through two of them with Manifest Destiny. Of course, this is the telling of Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea's traversal through the Louisiana Purchase into the West, only with gigantic monsters and buffalo tars and all kinds of mystical creatures involved in this one. So, when last we left our heroes, we were floating down a river and finding trouble at every pass. But we've got a new arc, a whole new set of trouble brewing from this, but this is a series that I really like, and you really like as well, Drew.
Oh, yeah. Big fan, super fan of this thing. Love it, love it, love it. We've got a couple trades out, so you can pick up the first two story arcs, which I just now realized also coincide with an arch discovery. There's always an arch that looks like the St. Louis arch. We had one that was just covered in grass in the first arc, and it was covered in flora, and that was kind of the driving force of that first six issues, and then they found an underwater arch, and then that was the kind of the driving force of the second story arc. So this looks like there's going to be a third arch to handle that arc, and so it's cool. It's kind of a cool hook, and I didn't realize it till just right now. So that's
till just stumbling over the word arc and arch.
Arc and arch. Yeah, that makes sense. I guess that's why they do that. So it's 32 pages. It's $2.99. It's beautiful to look at, and the story is a twist on history that you've never experienced. So it's not your daddy's history class. It's great. It's great stuff. I love it.
Yeah, so if you're not up to date, there'll be two trades out, trade number one, trade number two, and then you can pick up number 13, Manifest Destiny, at $2.99, 32 pages from Image Comics.
And check us out at comicsfunprofit.com.
Aloha. This is Jason from Hawaii. My next pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Image section on page 218, Manifest Destiny number 13. Now, before I continue, I'm going to give you guys a warning. I'm going to try to pronounce names the best I can, so please be patient with me. Or, you know, have a good laugh, because, yeah, I've really butchered, you know, names in the past. So again, please bear with me, and I'm sorry about butchering names. So here goes. It's written by Chris Dingus and art and cover by Matthew Roberts and Owen Gianni. The solicit reads, new story arc. Venturing deep into the heartland, the expedition discovers another arc, which can only signal new trouble, while Sacagawea experiences complications with her pregnancy. So I've always wanted to try out this comic book series, you know, and I missed out on the first issue. So what it is now, since, you know, my pull list at Dragon's Lair's collectibles and comics, you know, is getting short because of a few, Marvel cancellation books. You know, I'm adding this on my pull list. So, and, you know, it's a new story arc. So it's a great jumping on point for me. So, you know, so I'm just going to try it out, see how it goes. I mean, you know, I've read a single issue, and so far what I've seen and read, it looks really good. So I'm giving this a try. So if you guys get a chance, you know, this is a great jumping on point. Manifest Destiny number 13. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Next up on page 6 of the Marvel previews is Star Wars number 1. I'll keep this short and sweet because we've got two other clips on this. It's obviously a hot property. Go figure, it's Star Wars. It was 9 years at Marvel originally, another 23 later on over at Dark Horse. But yes, it's back home at Marvel. And frankly, it looks great. They've got a great team on it, Jason Aaron, John Cassidy. We've got a good couple of pages of John Cassidy art that is just breathtaking. It is both beautiful comic book art, it is also just great likenesses of the characters. I'm really looking forward to this. And if you're not familiar with Star Wars, well, you're not alone. I haven't gotten my sister to actually watch all the movies and stuff. So if y'all can help me convince her to do that, maybe we'll do a couple of movie review episodes on those classic films, which have obviously had a huge, huge impact on comic books over the years. I've got an entire drawer box full of nothing but Star Wars comics. I've got tons of these things. So once again, Star Wars, it's back at Marvel. It is 48 pages. It's a $4.99 comic book. Since it's a comic book page pick of the month, it's half off. That drops that price down to a bit more reasonable. But again, it's 48 pages. It's John Cassidy art, Jason Aaron writing, and it's Star Wars. It's worth checking out, as these other clips will attest to.
This is Kyle and Drew with Comics for Fun and Profit, and in our Marvel's preview, we're looking at Star Wars number one. That didn't take any time at all. They just got the license back from Dark Horse, and sure enough, Marvel starts with their own book, and they didn't pull any punches. Jason Aaron writing it, John Cassaday on the art, also doing the covers, and from my calculations, it looks like there are 14 covers for this, so they are hitting the ground running with Star Wars number one, now that Marvel has this property, and they're going to try to make all $4 billion back, apparently really, really quickly on this one. So what do you think of this as a Star Wars guy?
I'm psyched for it. I'm really going to give him a chance. Although I think Dark Horse kicked butt with the license, I'll give Marvel a chance. Not normally a variant guy, but they do have an action figure variant, which is by TBA, one of my favorite artists. And I can't wait to see what that looks like. If that looks, because we've seen an action figure variant cover before on, was it Spread?
Spread number one for Image Comics, absolutely.
It looked like the blister packed action figure, and that's kind of cool. If that's what they're doing with the Star Wars variant, that'll be really interesting.
And some of the names on these covers, we've got Joe Quesada, we've got Alex Ross, we've got Scotty Young doing his traditional child variants or whatever.
Yeah, that one's going to be amazing. Baby Star Wars, that'd be cool.
The baby Star Wars. So a lot of stuff coming from this. I'll read you a solicit real quick. Luke Skywalker and the ragtag band of rebels fighting against the Galactic Empire are fresh off their biggest victory yet, the destruction of the massive battle station known as the Death Star. But the Empire is not toppled yet. Join Luke along with Princess Leia, smuggler Han Solo, and Chewbacca droids C-3PO and R2-D2, and the rest of the Rebel Alliance as they strike out for freedom against the evil forces of Darth Vader and his master, the Emperor. So it sounds like this is another tag between Empire and Jedi?
Yeah, I think they're going to mine that a little bit more, it looks like.
Yep, and I wonder if they're going to come out and say, we're going to do canonical again, this is in canon, because that was a big thing with the Dark Horse ones that got wiped out.
I don't know. I'm sure that's what it's going to be. It's going to be rigidly controlled there, and they're going to be able to do anything too far off book. It is 48 pages for a first issue and $4.99, so a little higher priced, but a lot more pages, you know, twice the size of your normal comic. So they're really going to give us plenty of story here, and I'm interested to see just what Jason Aaron, his take on Star Wars. I'm hoping he's a big fan of it and really treats it the way it needs to be treated. And, Star Wars is back in Marvel, so, you know, this sounds awesome.
This sounds like the beginning of a beautiful friendship between Marvel and Star Wars in the comic book era. So, Comics for Fun and Profit recommends you pick up Star Wars, number one, 48 pages, $4.99, from Marvel Comics.
And check us out at comicsfunprofit.com.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Marvel's preview sections from pages 4 to 11. Star Wars, number 1, written by Jason Aaron, art by John Cassaday. The reason this is my pick for this month's preview spotlight, and I know this is, you know, for everybody, I'm sure, you know, all of us are going to be picking this as our, you know, are going to be picking this up when this comes out, is, you know, basically, you know, for me, it's for nostalgia purposes, because I remember reading, you know, the Star Wars comics when it first was, when it first came out back in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, from Marvel. And, you know, I thought some of those stories back then were really fun. They didn't have to worry about continuity. They just told great adventures, you know. And I look back fondly on Walt Simonson's run on the Star Wars issues. And I think he co-wrote maybe about 10 or 12 issues. I know he drew some. And I remember those. Those are really great, you know. So I look back fondly on those, you know, on
on that series back in Marvel. But I'm very excited about, you know, this new Star Wars series from Marvel, because they have some art samples, or preview pages, I should say, you know, of John Cassaday's work on issue number one, and it looks great. I mean, it looks like, you know, he really captures the visual essence of the Star Wars movie. It looks grand. It looks really big. Like this, you know, like it was, it looks like maybe like storyboards, basically, but it looks awesome. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, I also liked, you know, his drawing of Han Solo. It, you know, it's a, you know, looks like a close resemblance to Harrison Ford back from the first Star Wars movie. And it really, again, it looks really great. And I'm really looking forward, you know, to picking up Star Wars issue number one. You know, if you guys get a chance, you know, I know basically most or all of us will be picking this up. I've already got this on my pull list at Dragon's Lairs, Collectibles and Comics in the Mililani Malka Shopping Center. So thank you very much for listening. Back to you, John.
Next up on page 12 of the Marvel Previews is Ant-Man number 1. This is written by Mark Spencer. I'm looking forward to this. I've been a fan of the Scott Lang Ant-Man. He used to be a member of the Fantastic Four. It says here, though, that he's never been the best superhero and not even the best Ant-Man. And they point out that the last guy invented Ultron. What they fail to point out is the following guy after him was generally considered to be completely irredeemable. So out of all the Ant-Man, this is probably the most heroic. It's going to tie in with the superior Iron Man stuff. Apparently he gets some sort of opportunity from Tony Stark. And I think it'll be fun. I think Ant-Man just as a character and a superhero is certainly a viable concept for a comic book. I think this is the right character of the bunch to pick. I'm curious where they're going to go with it, if it's going to play into any of the stuff that's happened with the Future Foundation that he led for a bit while the Fantastic Four was away, or deal with anything tied into the Young Avengers, because his daughter Cassie was a member of that as Stature before she died. Of course, he died too, and he came back. So you never know what's going to happen. And again, Nick Spencer, terrific writer. I'm looking forward to this. The first issue is going to be 40 pages. I don't know if it's going to be that way going forward. It is a $4.99 comic, but it's also a comic book page pick of the month, giving it a 50% discount through DCBS. So if you shop through DCBS, congratulations, you're getting a price break. If you do not, let your retailer know in advance that you want this. This is the kind of thing they're taking a chance on to help them out, and let them know if you're definitely going to buy it or you're just considering buying it so they can plan accordingly. It does come with a bonus digital edition. I think that's part of why it's $4.99. I really wish Marvel would kind of change that policy to where we could get the dollar cheaper if we don't need the digital edition. But once again, that's Ant-Man number 1 on page 12 of the Marvel Previews.
My first pick from Marvel is Operation Sin. It's found on page 33 of the Marvel Previews catalog. There's been a lot of buzz about Peggy Carter and the origins of S.H.I.E.L.D., and with an all-new TV show kicking off mid-season, wouldn't it be great to have a mini-series featuring these early S.H.I.E.L.D. adventures too? Well, look no further than Operation Sin. It's a 5-part limited series teaming Peggy Carter and Howard Stark for some classic Cold War intrigue. Courtesy of writer Catherine Eimerman and artist Rich Ellis, Operation Sin follows Peggy and Howard on a globe-trotting adventure into cold-era Russia, trailing an alien artifact that could upset the balance of international relations. Obviously, this duo will be battling a splinter group of Hydra, along with touching the origin eras of some of Marvel Comics' legendary moments. This should be a fun ride. I'm a fan of the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, a big fan of the Captain America movies, and really have been looking forward to this television series with Peggy Carter, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So this should be a fun ride too. It'll come out just in time for the TV miniseries. So look for it yourself on page 33 of the Marvel Previews catalog and consider adding it to your order. My next pick from Marvel is She-Hulk number 12, found on page 54 of the Marvel Previews Guide. Charles Soule and Javier Pulido's She-Hulk will be releasing its final issue. So that's sad news, but 12 issues is not an unusual number for a series to be given before it goes on the chopping block at Marvel. But I'm still surprised that She-Hulk wound up there so soon. It's classy, creative, funny, and it is so well done. I'm in the camp that wasn't originally sold on Polito's art, but I admit that it was well done. Perfectly designed, very creative, the colors were spot on, but the rendering of She-Hulk just wasn't what I was used to. It went more whimsical than it went sensual. And however, I truly appreciated Polito's art, and that was perfectly cemented in place when Ron Wimberly showed up mid-series. I just did not care for his art. So I'm glad this series is ending on a high note. It has been a great, great run, and I hope Marvel collects all 12 issues into one edition instead of breaking it in half. If you didn't jump on this series, do yourself a favor. Grab the collected edition when it finally gets published. The solicit here reads, "It's the end of the blue file and the end of an era, but when one door closes, another one opens, and Jen finds herself face to face with her most important case yet." Let's hope that the other door referred to will be another volume for everyone's favorite Emerald Attorney very soon. The solicit can be found again on page 54 of the Marvel Previews Guide.
Next up on page 252 is Class Action Number 1 from Arden Entertainment. This is written by Neil Adams, and it's about Sarah and John, a couple happily in love. What Sarah doesn't know, though, is John used to be the world's foremost supervillain and has recently been pardoned, but for unknown reasons. And some of John's past are about to come crashing down around them. This is an, quote-unquote, action-packed debut issue. It's also a black and white 28-page comic. It's $2.99. It's from Arden Entertainment, but the fact that it's by Neil Adams, not just the concept, but actually written by him, I think's pretty interesting. Neil Adams most recently did, what was it, Batman Odyssey, which I think some people felt kind of went off the rails, and, you know, it kind of did, but I think that exact aspect of that writing, in addition to his just general creativity, with this concept could be a lot of fun. So I'm going to try this out, see what I think of it. Again, Class Action Number 1 from Arden Entertainment by Neil Adams. Again, the writing by Neil Adams, doing the art. Unfortunately, we don't get much sample of the art, which I'd like to see there. But again, $2.99. It is a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a 50% discount on it through DCBS. That drops that price down. So hopefully you guys will consider sampling that one too. So once again, Class Action Number 1 from Arden Entertainment on page 252.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a pick from Avatar on page 261 of the previous catalog. This is Dark Gods number 3, written by Justin Jordan, with art by German Aramuspe. It's 32 pages, full color, and lots of Avatar goodness, and plenty of variant covers. This is a very creepy story. I read the first issue, and I thought it was really cool the way they set it up. Some cult action, and this guy stumbled into it, innocent guy, and is trying to escape. And that's pretty much how the first issue ended, was him in a bit of a scrape. And so I really dug it. I thought it was a really cool concept and well executed. Really good first issue, excited me about this title, so I'm going to definitely recommend this to others. And it's the same dude that does The Spread over at Image, and so I really enjoy that one as well. Good creator and a good book, so check out Dark Gods number 3. See if you can pick up that first issue if it's still around. Really good stuff, and this is on page 261 of the previews catalog.
It's TJ back with my next selection, and this time it's on page 266 of the previews in the Atomic Book Company section. And this is Museum of Mistakes, the Fart Barty Collection Trade Paperback by Julie Wirtz with writing and art. And if you're not familiar with Julie Wirtz, she's an independent comics artist who does mostly autobiographical stuff. She really kind of came to fame with these two stories. These are basically a collection of her two previous Fart Party volumes, and they're basically kind of humorous stories about her passing through her life. And she's one of the funniest people I know that draws comics. So If you want to get those all together, this 400-page black and white collection right here. So here's the description. In 2004, Julia Wirtz began a series of funny, irrelevant autobiographical comics she called The Fart Party. After posting these comics online at fartparty.org to acclaim and controversy, she eventually started collecting these comics as self-published minis, which found their way to Atomic Books in Baltimore, who thought they ought to be collected into proper books so as to garner Julie more laughs and hate mail. As these things go, the first volume was so successful there was a second volume. Both are out of print, but Museum Mistakes collects these into one book, plus numerous pages of Julia's every early comic work, unpublished and or previously uncollected comics, short stories, illustration, process pages, hate mail, sketchbooks, tear stains, and more. So not only do you get both Fart Party collections, but you get some new material. I think she said at least a bunch of other stuff too. I follow her on her blog. So if you're a Julie Wirtz fan, please check out page 266, the Atomic Book Company, for Museum of Mistakes, the Fart Party Collection.
This is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative Podcast. On page 266 of the November catalog, you'll find in the relatively small Big Planet Comics section, James Kolchanka's Fungus, The Unbearable Rot of Being. Eisner Award winner James Kolchanka presents a forest full of cute but strange fungus creatures. That's right, fungus creatures. They ruminate on a variety of topics, including such bizarre mysteries as comic books and philosophy, cyberspace and redemption, a surreal and funny outside look at the elements of our own reality. I feel kind of mixed about Kolchanka's comics. There's that cute element of his sometimes gets on my nerves, but I like it when he utilizes it to look at more profound and probing questions and to do things that are quite a bit unusual. This definitely falls within that category. Talking fungi, if that's the plural of fungus, discussing a variety of artistic and philosophical questions. So if that intrigues you, then definitely check out page 266 of the November catalog for Fungus, The Unbearable Rot of Being.
Hey guys, TJ back with my next selection, and this is in the Comics Tribe section on page 293. And this is And Then Emily Was Gone, Volume 1 graphic novel. The writing by John Lees and art by Ian Laurie, with a cover by Riley Rossmo. And this is one of the better horror series I've read in the last year or so, and it's just a really creepy, good horror series. So here's the description. A haunted former police detective goes in search of a missing girl and finds hell instead. And Then Emily Was Gone is a dark horror mystery that tells the story of Greg Hellinger, a man who sees monsters. A former detective driven to the brink of madness by terrifying apparitions, Hellinger is tasked with finding a missing girl named Emily. His search takes him to a remote community in the Orkney Islands of Scotland, where strange and terrible things are happening. So I've been reading this digitally in issue form. And it's just a really, really good little creepy story. And the art is just so good. It's so visceral by Ian Laurie. And I'm a big fan of this, what I've read so far. So I'm looking forward to pick this up in trade paperback form. And the good thing is that DCBS has it for 45% off. So you're getting this whole story for under 10 bucks. So it's a great thing to check out if you're interested. And that's And Then Emily Was Gone, Volume 1 in Comics Tribe on page 293.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, and I'm a fan of this podcast. And this month I'm excited about a comic book called Prince Valiant, issue number 1 from Dynamite Entertainment on page 297 of your previews catalog. This is written by Nate Cosby with art by Ron Salas and a great cover by Darwin Cook. This comic is being released with a total of 5 comics in the King Features Syndicate series from Dynamite, which also includes Flash Gordon, Mandrake the Magician, of course Prince Valiant, The Phantom, and Jungle Jim. And I'm most excited about this issue, of course, but I will be picking up all 5 issues this month to check them all out. And I understand that Dynamite will be doing a line-wide crossover, at least for this family in the King Feature Syndicate. So it'll be interesting to see how they pull that crossover off, seeing how all these comics are so different in their own ways. Now, Prince Valiant, of course, is a King Arthur-type character who lives in that type of world of sword and sorcery and monsters. So if you're into that type of thing, I think you'll really like this comic. Of course, Prince Valiant is creation of the true comic book master, Hal Foster. There isn't a comic book creator or artist worth his salt who doesn't reference Hal Foster, because he was a consummate artist, able to draw anything that he wanted to. He ran the comic book strip for many years. He's since passed on, and I believe the strip was continued by a few other different creators, artists. I don't believe it still continues today, but maybe it does. Anyways, I really look forward to this comic. I don't think there's been many other Prince Valiant comics. I think there was maybe one that I could find. I haven't actually read any myself, but there was one from Marvel released about 20 years ago. So I'm interested to see how they're going to pull this one off, and I'm really interested to see what comes of that crossover coming up in a few more months. Anyways, this comic book is going to be 32 pages, price of $3.99. Of course, DCBS has it at 35% off. It's going to be released on January 14th, and I really look forward to it. Thanks, John.
This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and now I am on page 323 of the catalog in the Drawn and Quarterly section. It's a place where you can always find great stuff. This one is First Year Healthy by Michael DeForge. First Year Healthy purports to be the story of a young woman recently released from a hospital after an outburst in her burgeoning relationship with an odd, perhaps criminal, Turkish immigrant. In a scant 48 pages, working with a vibrant, otherworldly palette of magentas, yellows, and grays, Michael DeForge brings to life a world whose shifting realities are as treacherous as the thin ice its narrator walks on. First Year Healthy is all it appears to be and more, a parable about mental illness, a folk tale about magical cats, and a bizarre, compelling story about relationships. Now, if that doesn't intrigue you, I don't know what would. Also resolicited just underneath that solicit is his earlier book that came out through Drawn and Quarterly, and that is Ant Colony. So you can get your Michael DeForge fix that way. If you're not familiar with DeForge's work, then you definitely should check this out. He has done quite a bit of independent alt comics, if you want to call it that. He's also been getting quite a bit of critical attention, and I think last year he was collected in the Best American Comics from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. So check him out on page 323 of the catalog in the Drawn and Quarterly section. Derek, once again, from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my next picks of the month are on page 330 of the catalog. They're in the Fantagraphic section, and I'll just highlight some of the titles there, because there are a few, I think, that are definitely worth checking out. First and foremost, at least for me, is another in Fantagraphics' EC Comics collection, and this one is Spawn of Mars and Other Stories, with work primarily by Wally Wood and L. Feldstein. So that is another one, if you're getting these as I am, to add to your collection. Also solicited on that same page is a new comic from Wilfred Santiago, and that is Michael Jordan, Bull on Parade. So this is going to be a sports biography in many ways, as his earlier 21, The Story of Roberto Clemente, which is actually resolicited on the following page, 331. Another thing worth noting in the Fantagraphics section is Treasury of Mini Comics, Volume 2. This collects a variety of smaller mini comics that you probably don't even know about, and it follows an earlier publication, Volume 1, Treasury of Mini Comics, and again, that's solicited on page 331 as well. And then finally, I want to point out a new collection from Frank Stack, Fulbert Funnies, History and Other Fictions. Frank Stack has been quietly creating observational, iconoclastic art for more than 40 years and is probably best known as the artist behind Harvey Pekar's My Cancer Year. Here you have a collection of his Fulbert Sturgeon comics. So this is another really good book that Fantagraphics is soliciting this month, and you can check out what they have coming out new as well as some of their older titles on pages 330 and 331 of the catalog.
Guys, TJ here with my next selection on page 337 in the Humanoid section, and this is Barbarella and the Wrath of the Minute Eater hardcover, writing by Jean-Claude Forest, and I think translation by Kelly Sue DeConnick, and obviously art by Jean-Claude Forest. So this is kind of the classic Barbarella story, which I think they had a solution a month or two ago for a big, huge, oversized version, but this is a little bit smaller, 9x11, still black and white, 152 pages, and what this does is it includes the sequel, never translated to English before sequel, The Wrath of the Minute Eater. And so the description is, Jean-Claude Forest's timeless, erotic sci-fi classic from which the cult favorite movie of the same name stems from is now available featuring a brand new contemporary English language adaptation by Kelly Sue DeConnick. Published in black and white, this edition includes both the original Barbarella graphic novel and its never-before-seen in English sequel, like I told you. So I'm just a pretty big fan of the Barbarella, and actually wanted to get the previous one, but it was just a little bit outside my price range. I think that one was like $75. This one is actually includes both stories for $35, and I think with DCBS you get it for about $25. So you know, I'm looking forward to this. I've read about this, and there's a lot of people who I respect. I think this is a great story and is kind of underpins a lot of the great stuff that we've seen coming from it. So if you're a Barbarella fan and you're interested in a good solid hardback of both stories, check out Humanoids on page 337. Hey guys, TJ here with my next selection. This is in the Red 5 comics section on page 354. This is Atomic Robo and the Knights of the Golden Circle trade paperback, volume 9 in the Atomic Robo series, with writing by Brian Clevenger and art by Scott Wegner. And I kind of made a promise to myself that I'd always highlight Atomic Robo collections when they come out because it's such an underrated series. You know, I read about 20 to 30 series a month, and if I had to, you know, cut things down to 10 or 5 comic books for whatever reason, this would definitely be in there. Definitely be in my top 10 and most likely be in my top 5. So I can't say enough good things about Atomic Robo. It's just such a great all ages fun series, you know, kind of shows the importance of science and uses a lot of humor. Just a huge Atomic Robo fan. And so this volume is described as Baron Heinrich von Helsingard is poised to conquer the Old West with his invincible army of automatic soldiers and the war Zeppelin Basilisk. Atomic Robo, Doc Holliday, and U.S. Marshal Bass Reeves are all that stand between him and total conquest. But they're outmanned and they're outgunned and they have no good plans and there's no way out alive. Oh, and Robo's nearly out of nuclear fuel because it's 1884. So if you're interested in more Atomic Robo, check out page 354.
Aloha, this is Jason from Hawaii. My last pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the back part of the previous catalog in the Red Giant Entertainment section on page 358. This is the one where John talked about in the last previews episode. You know, this is a company that like right now has like 4 flip books at very low cost. The one that I'm focusing on for this month's preview spotlight is Giant Size Fantasy number 3. Dual Identity and the First Daughter. The writers are Elaine Lee and Chris Crosby, art by Jonathan Lamb and Tina Francisco. The First Daughter. The solicit for that one is, while Tasha Tasker takes her team of time-displaced first children out for a night on the town, their mentor, Nam, fights to stay alive. In the second comic, Dual Identity, Artemis, already feeling the tug-of-war between her two identities and the two men vying for her attention, add a new man into the mix, this one her latest mark. Basically, it's like, you know, it's just, you know, I'm just trying out these comics. You know, I'm trying out, you know, this comic book, the Giant Size Fantasy number 3. And I'm also picking up
Giant Size Action number 3, Wayward Sons and Tesla. Basically, it's just, you know, I just want to try these comic books out, see how they go. Couple things is that, like John mentioned last month's preview episodes, to get support to support this new comic book company, Red Giant Entertainment. So it's just, I'm just giving it a shot. Just want to see, how these comics are. And also what I'm doing, too, is that I'm ordering extra copies so I can give it out to, another comic book friend of mine to try out, too. You know, something outside of the Marvel, outside of the top two, outside of Marvel and DC, and maybe also Image and IDW and Dark Horse, it's just to try something a little different. So, if you guys get a chance, pick up Giant Size Fantasy number 3, Dual Identity, and The First Daughter, or check out the other flip comic books that Red Giant Entertainment has to offer. And, that's it. Thank you for listening. And before I go, I just wanted to give a couple shout-outs to, first off, Lucas and Randy Martin. Thank you very much. Since I live out in Hawaii, my previous catalog, doesn't come out exactly on time before the previous Spotlight episodes. So when I went to their comic book store, they loaned me their store copy to look through to their previous catalog so I could pick out my picks for this month's episode. And also I want to, thank John. Again, John, thank you very much for, letting me be a part of your podcast. Thank you very much. And one more shout-out, thank you, is to TJ for mentioning Copra Round 1 trade paperback that you mentioned in last month's episode. I decided to, just you talking about it, I decided to not only order a copy for myself, but for a friend of mine so I can give it to him as a Christmas present. So, TJ, thank you very much. And again, thank you for listening, and I look forward to hearing to you guys' clips. So, again, thank you very much. Back to you, John.
Next up on page 358 is Henchman I, Henchbot, number 1, from Robot Paper. I'd picked up the Henchman one-shot a while back, really enjoyed it, it was a lot of fun. It was about a guy who basically winds up being a henchman for supervillains, We see them all the time in the comics, and this is kind of a, I don't say a behind-the-scenes sort of a thing, but the story from their point of view. And after, doing that for a bit, the lead, Gary, is trying to find legitimate work and having problems with that. But what kind of turns things around a little bit for him is that a company creates the Henchbot. That's right, a robot henchman. So what are the flesh and blood henchmen going to do? Unionize. Who's going to lead them? Gary. This is the first part of a six-part miniseries. It's $3.50, 24 pages. I'm assuming that's just the story pages, so standard size comic, I'm thinking. It is black and white, as was the original Henchman one-shot, which was, again, a lot of fun a while back. Robot Paper, I don't know that they've done a whole lot other than this, but so far what I've read from them, I have enjoyed. I don't think this will be any different, so this is not something I'm sampling. It is something I'm planning on getting the whole run of. So, once again, it's Henchman I, Henchbot number 1 from Robot Paper on page 358.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and my last pick from the November previews catalog can be found in the top shelf section. It's on page 374, March, Book 2. This is written by John Lewis and Andrew Aiden with art by Nate Powell. March came out last year, and it was a great critical and even popular success. This is about the civil rights movement, written by Congress, primarily by Congressman John Lewis. And now the second installment is coming out in a couple of months, and so you definitely have to check this one out. Another thing that you will notice in this November's catalog is that there's also an interview with the creators, John Lewis, Andrew Aiden, and Nate Powell. So you can get the lowdown on Book 2 of March, as well as see the solicit in the top shelf section on page 374. You gotta get March, Book 2. Happy reading!
Next up on page 380 from Valiant is Ivar Timewalker number 1. Now, if you're familiar with the Valiant universe, you know that the Eternal Warrior is the brother of Armstrong from Archer and Armstrong, and that they've got yet another brother, Ivar, the Time Walker. He's finally getting his own title. I've been a fan of that character since he was originally presented way back in the original Valiant universe. I guess that was back in the 90s. This character has the ability to kind of essentially walk through time because he knows where kind of the time arcs are. And this is going to tie into both the current day Valiant universe and the past and the present of it. They've got some really cool covers, variant covers here at the bottom of page 380. It's by the creative team that originally brought us Archer and Armstrong, Fred Van Lente, Clayton Henry. So I'm expecting great things out of this book, and it to tie in wonderfully with what they've done with Archer and Armstrong. Again, as a time travel fan, a fan of the Valiant universe, I've been looking forward to this title for a while. I think it's well worth checking out. So once again, Ivar Time Walker number 1 on page 380.
Guys, TJ here with my last selection in this month's preview. It's in the Viz Media section on page 387. This is Jacko the Galactic Patrolman by Akira Toriyama. And if that name sounds familiar, that's right, because this is the Dragon Ball Z guy. And so I've been a huge fan of Dragon Ball Z. It's actually the first manga I grew up on when I was a kid. And this is something that a guy from another podcast, the Savage Critic, the Wait What podcast, Jeff Lester, turned me on to. He's a very big Dragon Ball Z fan as well. And this is kind of much more along the lines of a comedy. So, but, you know, just with the creator's pedigree, I thought this would be something great to try out. And so with his recommendation, I'm going to give it a shot. It basically says, retired scientist Samari lives alone on a deserted island while continuing his research into time travel. His quiet life is interrupted when Galactic Patrolman Jacko crash lands and decides to move in with him. This agent from space claims to be elite, but sometimes it can be a little hard to believe. Can Jacko get along with the old man long enough to save the Earth from a dangerous threat? This just sounds like a great little fun adventure story, and with Akira Toriyama behind it, I'm not going to be disappointed. So if you're interested in some Dragon Ball Z follow-up, I think actually this story is supposed to be set before the beginning of Dragon Ball Z in the general same kind of universe, but it's obviously a different story and it's supposed to be more of a comedy. So if you're interested in some new Akira Toriyama, check out Jacko the Galactic Patrolman on page 387.
Hey guys, this is Drew with a kind of an off-the-wall pick. This is way back in the back, page 423. Previews always has some really good selection of t-shirts and apparel and books and things. And this really caught my eye. This is a Moon Knight t-shirt, which I have not seen before. I've not seen a lot of Moon Knight t-shirts, so I was really kind of psyched about this. I'm a big Moon Knight fan. And so I'm going to nerd out a little bit and get myself a Moon Knight t-shirt. I wanted to make sure, if you like Moon Knight as much as I do, that you're aware of this. And it's pretty affordable. It's only $18.99, and all the sizes right up to double X. They don't even tack on extra for the if it's one of the big ones. But this is your classic Moon Knight look, and check out some of the other apparel while you're back there. There's some great stuff here, and I haven't seen a Moon Knight shirt floating around, so I was kind of psyched to see this, and I'm gonna get it. So check out on page 423 of the previous catalog, Moon Knight t-shirt, man.
As I record this, I haven't done my final pass through previews yet, so there's still a couple of things that may get added to the list, but as it stands right now, I've only got 3 items from Dark Horse. There's just not much this month that interests me there, which is a little surprising. It's usually the premier publisher I get the least from, but it just seems a little light right now. DC, I'm getting 68 items. I'm still all in on the new 52. With some of the new titles that are coming out and how they seem to be targeting different demographics than what I fall into, I'm not sure how much longer I'll stay all in the DC New 52 stuff. I'm not planning on changing that anytime soon, but it's looking more and more likely in terms of a long-term prognosis or whatever. Only 5 items from IDW, so I need to go back through and see if I just missed some stuff there, because that seems fairly low, too. 13 from Image, 75 from Marvel, and 32 from the back half of Previews. That's actually putting my percentages to where about 34-35% from DC, a little over 38% from Marvel. And again, I usually have about a 3-way split between Marvel, DC, and everything else. So I need to just see if I've missed a few things, and I very well may have. I've had a bad habit of doing that over the last couple of months, and I'm very thankful that DCBS is good about letting me put in some late orders at times. Matter of fact, the last time I was a day late getting my order in. Speaking of which, the DCBS order due date is November 26th. That's a Wednesday. That's coincidentally the same Wednesday that the next Previews gets released. So if you see the next Previews, you shop with DCBS and haven't sent your order in, do so immediately. It's something I need to get a little better at, personally. Deadline for the next Preview Spotlight will be Saturday, December 6th. Solicits should go up shortly after this episode does over on Comic Book Resources and other online sites. You can always check the Previews World website for a lot of the information. You do not have to have the physical copy of Previews in order to send in clips. I find it helpful personally just to come up with things to say about the items and just to learn more about them and whatnot. And personally, I love seeing the sample pages of art when those are available. Also, one piece of good news about Previews, they're dropping the price a little bit down to $3.99, I believe, with the January Previews. So that's always a good thing. So hopefully you all found stuff you liked. Again, we have an open submission policy on these episodes. For these to work, I need listeners to send in clips. So I want to thank Chris, TJ, Derek, Drew, the guys at Comics for Fun and Profit, Jason, Brandon, and Ian for all sending in clips. A lot of these clips came in early. As a matter of fact, one or two before I even sent out the email reminder. I send an email out the day Previews goes out, give or take a day, depending if I forget sometimes, or a little early, whatever. But, you know, within a day or so of when the Previews comes out, that Wednesday, and then the following Wednesday, which is just a couple of days before the deadline. If you'd like to get on that email list, send me either an email or a private message on the forum. Let me know. I'm happy to add you guys to the list. It's just a nice friendly reminder of, hey, here's the deadline, here's what I've picked. Here's some links of handy information or whatever. I try to include in the first email links to the online solicits for Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image, and IDW, if they're all available. And I put those up on the forum. Also, please take advantage of the forum. There's always a thread that I start for the Preview Spotlight to where you can just say, hey, this is what I'm planning on doing. I don't mind duplicates. We had a couple this time around. For obviously for Star Wars, big popular one, go figure. Manifest Destiny, and Murder Book, which Murder Book and Manifest Destiny, those are smaller profile things. So I was a little surprised to get dupes, and it's fine, it's good. Better explanation of the stuff shows more interest and whatnot. You know, so I want to let everyone talk about everything they want to talk about, but I also want to get as much coverage of different things as possible. So look at the forum thread, see what other people are talking about. That doesn't mean you can't do it, but keep in mind, somebody else is already talking about it. If you've got something new and unique to add, great. If not, maybe the time's better spent on something else. But I do want as much participation as possible, because that's what makes these episodes a lot of fun to do, a lot of work to do, but a lot of fun to do. That's how I learn about new things, that's how you guys can learn about new things. And again, with a 500-page catalog plus another 100 pages or so for the Marvel one, it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. I know I have a hard time keeping track of everything, so, you know, that's why I do these episodes. So once again, hopefully you guys found this useful, enjoyable, and entertaining. And until next month, keep reading, check out the Weekly Comic Spotlight and the Mayo Reports. And the movie and TV episodes I'm doing with my sister and stuff. Those are a lot of fun. We've got some more plans for those. So again, with Star Wars, let's see if we can talk her into doing some episodes on those.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.